Hello and welcome to Totem Talks podcast. Today we're here to talk about positive community building and answering your foodie dilemmas.
We're going to be covering all things food and nutrition and give you some of our cooking advice.
My name's Nick. I am about to go into my third year of university studying biochemistry, and my content usually based on that of being budget friendly and vegetarian at the same time.
I'm Lauren. I did my undergraduate at University of Hull and I did psychology, and I have recently completed my master's at UCL doing eating disorders and clinical nutrition. So I base my content around eating disorder recovery and trying to educate people on the importance of nutrition.
Yeah, so should we start with what sort of like inspired you to get involved in like creating food content, the type of content you create, like what built up to that?
So I come from a background of disordered eating habits, and throughout my like uni journey, it was a journey in itself, really. I went from like restriction to just completely cutting out certain food groups. And it wasn't until I got into my master's and I did nutrition that I sort of understood the benefits of all the food groups and the vitamins and stuff. So I started making content about just what I eat day to day, like literally just simple, sometimes 10-second videos showing what I ate to prove that it is actually okay to eat things that diet culture demonizes. And I just wanted to build a community that had like a good relationship with food.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so how did you get into like making your content?
I think it mostly came from, so I was seeing like, I was so inspired by so many different like vegan and vegetarian influencers. And like, I love the food that they were cooking. But sometimes for me, that just wasn't like financially available.
Yeah.
And I was really looking for something to try and like simplify it, put the ingredients down into something I could adapt to my budget. Whilst sort of looking for easy and quick meals as well at university, because I didn't have hours to create sort of like elaborate Michelin star dishes. So it really came on like my own experience of seeing what other people were cooking, and then like almost bringing it back to a level that was attainable for my budget and what was available like on the shelf. So finding cheaper alternatives to quite like expensive protein sources, for example, which is quite important as a vegetarian, like finding new ways to make different types of tofu and things like that changed my perception. So yeah, I think that was really important in starting like what I wanted to do with my sort of channel.
Yeah, and I think another thing with ingredients and stuff, like you say, you need a lot of them and it could be quite expensive, but it's also making sure you actually use them, you know, have multiple meals with that include like all the ingredients. So I don't know, maybe there have been times I'll buy some spices, use them once, and they sit in the cupboard. Like, it's really difficult to, you know, actually meal plan to use everything and not waste it.
Yeah, definitely. I always find I have the most elaborate spice drawer. It's like it is crazy. I'll find like a use for one in one of them, but I always am quite like interested in trying to like experiment, see what I can do with it and find good use. But I've found that there's more, that's like some are more applicable to dishes. I find there's like a holy trinity of like cumin, paprika, and like hot chili powder. I think you can put that in anything. Yeah. That's like, that's my favorite.
I don't necessarily have a specific person that like I search for when I want new recipes. I'll either just go on TikTok and maybe put in like cheap student meals, or if I want to do a certain cuisine, I think they're quite easy to find. And also like Pinterest has a lot of stuff as well, because they link to websites. But if you're not on social media, like I've got quite a lot of recipes from student cookbooks. I think like when I first went to uni, I took like 3 different cookbooks with me, and some of them became like staple dishes.
Like your own Bible, you know?
Literally, yeah. Like I could easily pick out like the recipes from there and make my own little book, you know, have a little, I don't know, a folder of recipes that, you know, you can go and make quick and easy.
Yeah, I'd say like, because like when I was growing up, we didn't have lots of like money to spare, I guess, to spend on like elaborate meals. So when I was younger, I didn't really have sort of like an elaborate like palate, I guess. I was sort of eating chopped tomatoes with pasta, and that was like sort of what I had as like my base. And then I think as I got older and I was like had more autonomy like over my food, I gained like I gain a real appreciation for like complexities of like spices and flavors and things like that. And it's something I really learned off a lot of my friends. I had a neighbor when I was growing up, and she'd sometimes invite me over and just give me dosas, which is like a sort of South Asia. I used to think of it like a pancake almost. It's not really a pancake, but like, you know what I mean? And that was something that really started my love, especially like with South Asian food and sort of food beyond maybe like the British palate. It was something that really allowed me to explore a bit more into different foods, different food types.
So have you introduced that to your household now? Do you cook a lot for them?
Definitely. And I've been on conversion of everyone to vegetarianism as well. Not intentionally. It's just like, I usually be like, oh, I'll manage dinner today. Things like that. So being able to broaden like sort of our weekly dishes, instead of just having like tomatoes and pasta, now we'll move on to like, sometimes we'll have curries, sometimes I'll make like a ramen or something. So yeah, I think it's really nice.
Yeah, definitely. It's like we were saying earlier, like my parents are very British cuisine, like yours were. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And now just find like milk alternatives. Like my parents would never buy almond milk, and now I'm slowly converting them to like vegetarian options, or even not like meat substitutes, but you know, lentil dishes and stuff. They would never have had that before, but now it's a staple thing.
Yeah, exactly. And people being like, where's the meat? And like tofu was such a dish that I had to really like work at to try and make it like palatable to.
It's a hit or miss for
sure. Exactly. Because I was like the first vegetarian out of most people that I knew in like my area and like my family as well. A lot of people sort of didn't do that. So trying to come up with new and sort of innovative ways of making vegetarian food palatable was also like quite an interesting challenge I found.
Definitely.
And exploring all those different cuisines as well, and maybe widening our horizons a bit more. So
so what's your favorite dish to make for your family?
That's a good question. I really like butter paneer. I think butter paneer is a really good one. I only usually make it at home because it takes a bit more time than it does at uni, but it's still like so easy to make. Just a couple of like tomatoes, spices, onions, blend it all up, and then you've got a really nice sauce. So I think it's quite a nice one because I really like the community feel of, especially like Indian cuisine. You can just put a bowl of something in the middle of the table and a bit of rice on the side and some like roti as well. Like, you know, people can dip in and out as they so please. And I think it's just really nice and social. Rather than like, you know, taking your little box or something and going sitting in the sofa in front of the TV. It's nice to sort of make an event out of food. But do you have anything that you've brought to your parents that you really enjoy?
Well, when I was trying to sort of convert them into plant-based and like, you know, just try and switch their palate up a bit, we started making things like stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms, all that sort of thing. Like, so we do stuffed mushrooms, get like a portobello mushroom, cheese, garlic, serve it with like a pasta salad or rice. And they really enjoyed that. And I think just it's nice to cook for a family and get together, like you say, because food is so much more than just calories at the end of the day. Like, there are so many different aspects to it that I think people don't really understand. They take it for granted in a way.
And do you do that, like, do you sort of transfer that to uni as well? Is it something that you've made like cooking an event with your friends even? Or
we tried to
it can be difficult.
In first year we were doing like every Friday we would do one person would cook for the rest of the flat that lasted up until probably Christmas. But then COVID hit. It all sort of went downhill, and then when we went back after COVID, like, the kitchen atmosphere was very much you walk in, someone might be cooking their dinner and using all the hobs, you have to sort of stand at the side. Like, so sometimes it was quite nice to have something meal prepped in the fridge, so if someone was using the appliances you could still grab something and not sort of stand around all awkward. But yeah, the atmosphere was completely different in the kitchen. Like, we still all got on, but we just kept to ourselves more and sort of lost the feel of like the community a bit. But I think it was just the unprecedented time really that changed everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No, that's such a shame. But it's still nice to, I think, even like whether it be like at uni or with your family, it's nice to sort of treat food as more than, as you said, just like plain calories. It's nice to have it almost as an event.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, it's something I always look forward to through the day. I'm thinking about it 24/7, always about like, what am I going to try? What's mm-hmm. like, what can I test out into? And like, if you're, so if you're not going to eat in, if you're going to have a bit of a treat and go out, what's your sort of go-to going out sort of Ooh. Restaurant or meal?
Well, that's a tricky one. I like Italian food, which is quite basic.
No, so valid. So valid.
But I would much rather go to a restaurant and have a pizza than a takeaway pizza,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just completely different. So yeah, just like a pizza parlor, I think, because it's quite chill as well. You're not got to redress up for it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I like having food as an event, but I don't like it being a really pressurized event where you got to dress up and be all fancy.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
And then, like I was saying earlier, I went to this hot pot, Asian hot pot restaurant.
They sound so cool. Like, I really want to try one.
I was, like, me and my boyfriend went and we were so confused. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, you sit and there's just a big cooking pot in the middle of the table. And you've got some chopsticks, and we can't use chopsticks. We're really bad. We like go to Wagamama's and get a knife and fork, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean, don't worry.
And yeah, we didn't know what we were doing, and the waiter had to like, come over and do a step-by-step tutorial on how to eat and cook the hot pot. That was definitely out of my comfort zone, because I remember going to uni and being like, I don't want to cook raw meat. I don't trust myself. And a hot pot is literally getting raw meat, dipping it in,
and you have to make
and you're
it
doing
yourself,
it yourself
right?
I'm like, I don't want to give myself or anyone else food poisoning, so that was that was definitely out there for me, and one of my favorite like treats that I have had. But
oh yeah no, it sounds amazing. I really have to try one at some point.
Yeah,
but yeah, I have to agree, pizza is such a good going out food, especially like, you know, the sort of like sourdough pizzas.
Oh,
they're just, they hit so much different like the American style pizzas.
Yeah.
But like university societies love to like throw pizza, free pizza.
Domino's.
Yeah,
all the
always
time.
A Domino's, always a Domino's. But it always gets people to your event. So it's like, it's so nice to have. And again, that's like the social aspect, isn't it? Like bringing like people together over food. But yeah, I'd say if I'm like, if I wanted to go out and have something, I'd say my go-to is usually like, there's a little Japanese restaurant I was talking about earlier in Oxford called Edamame, and they're only open for like the most restricted hours, and it's like sitting in someone's front room, but the menu changes all the time. I think that's just so nice, as in having so many different dishes that cater to both meat eaters and vegetarians, but it's so varied, like when like your two trips there are not going to be the same. So it's like, it's such a nice experience to go to that place. And I think Oxford generally does like sort of Japanese food pretty well.
Yeah.
Especially like better than where I'm from. So, but yeah. And also I love an Indian, like Indian food is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many like options for vegetarians. I know I keep bringing it back to the plant-based eaters, but it is, like the most varied, definitely, and you can have so many different types of like, from paneer to like chickpeas. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's the one thing I learned about like moving from Hull to London with uni, is Hull, like you'd have your common like bars, pizza places, the odd burger place, and obviously like your takeaways. Whereas when I went to London, it was like, wow,
there is
so many cuisines I haven't even heard of, like. So yeah, the food scene in London is unreal, and I probably spent most of my money on food. But I was like, I'm only there for a year, like,
make the most of it. I feel the same. I mean, I've got 4 years, but I'm still like, yeah, you know, it's only a limited time here. I've got to try everything. And again, one thing that Oxford does really well is coffee shops. I think the coffee shop culture is just amazing. Like so many different types of milks for your coffee, so many different types of pastries and cakes. Like you're never short for choice.
Yeah.
And that's something like I really enjoy about university. It's just being able to pick up my laptop, go do some work in a cafe and enjoy like a nice cup of coffee and some like cake as well. So it's like a nice little treat as well.
Yeah. And like, most of them coffee shops will do student discounts, like so many places do student discounts, because I know loads of people were like, oh, I would go and get like coffee, but I know it's like £4 out of your budget. And it's like, well, once in a blue moon's fine, but then they also do give you discounts and they have your student cards and all that sort of thing, like prep exactly. do.
Mm.
You know, I lived off my prep one.
Oh, the prep subscription is a staple. I mean, I have to admit, I was back in the days when it was £20. So and now it's gone up a bit, but you get like 10% off food, I think, now in it as well. So like, it's still like pretty decent. But yeah, I was living off of prep. I was rinsing that 5 prep drinks a day just to get me through my exam period in first year. But yeah, like loads of places, I think, just have like also like loyalty schemes and like student schemes. So it's quite nice to be able to just, it feels like free money almost.
Yeah. And sometimes like if you join specific societies at uni, they are sometimes sponsored by local food places. Exactly. So you can, when you go out with your team, it's like free, or they'll like just donate food to you. Not donate, but like you can go and you'll get discount. And
yeah, you know. I love a club card as well. A Tesco club card. Tesco club cards. Yeah. Elite. It's elite. But yeah, I think there's so much that you can do in terms of like loyalty schemes and like student discounts. Like they're all at will to sort of help you like budget your way through university. But is there a way that you try to almost like budget your meals in at university?
I didn't have like a strict budget, like I was in, oh, I'm only spending this much on food a week.
Mm.
But I just made sure that if I was going to buy like ingredients for one meal, I would make sure that they would last other meals so they didn't go to waste. And also I got into the habit at first of buying like, I don't know, a bag of carrots, say, and then come the end of the week I won't have them, like I won't use them for anything else, so they just go to waste. So then I got in the habit of buying single carrots for like each meal, and it can be a little bit more expensive sometimes, but at least I wasn't wasting the food. And I think if I said to myself I'm only gonna spend £20 say on food a week, I would want to meet that every time I went for a food shop. Whereas if I didn't set a budget, sometimes I'd only spend like £15 and not even realize. Like I just tried not to be strict with it.
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I think meal prepping really became like a good friend of mine throughout like uni, and being able to say like, right, I've cooked this giant chili con carne that I'm just going to sort of pick out throughout the week. And that can last me like five meals.
Yeah.
And like you said, it also reduces waste. Like if you're just cooking for like one person one at a time, you might only use like half an onion, and that onion can like go bad if you don't sort of plan or prep your meals in that way. So I think it's nice to cook in bulk, not just for sort of practicality, because like you're obviously so busy at uni.
Yeah.
But also just it's quite like nice on your pocket as well, like quite budget friendly as well.
Yeah, and so. I found that most student cookbooks aren't for one person.
Yeah,
most of them were like for 3 or 4 people. So even if you aren't like cooking for your flat, still make that portion. Don't like fraction out your ingredients, but just freeze it. If you can freeze then do that. But then like we said, sometimes you don't get freezer space.
Yeah, I certainly didn't. So.
Like my freezer drawer was so small, so I couldn't really fit much in. So I had to be really strict on myself on what I batch made.
Mm.
But like lasagna was a go-to and like things like that.
Yeah, certainly. Freeze. I had quite a small kitchen. I think that was like we had 2 fridges, and that was about it between I think like 6 or 7 of us.
Mm.
So there was definitely like limits for space. But I think that's also where like meal prepping can be quite helpful as well, as in you're not taking up all of this space in the fridge for keeping ingredients. You're sort of keeping your meals in boxes that you can stack on top of one another, rather than occupying like ingredient space, you're occupying like food space that you can go and readily heat up. So yeah, it was definitely helpful. Would you say that your like university kitchen was quite like well equipped? Like what type of things did you bring with you and use like really regularly?
My kitchen in Hull was really good. There was 5 of us in the flat, so we had like 1 hob, 1 oven, like 1 of everything, which was really good. We didn't have to supply anything as such, so I just went with like cutlery, plates, baking tray. I rocked up with loads of weird things like egg poachers, which I never even started touching, you know. They just sat in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I went to UCL for my master's, I was able to cut down a lot on what I
took. Bring it back to basics.
Yeah, but then I arrived and we had a conventional oven. So it was a microwave and an oven in one.
Yeah.
And it was really small. It only had one shelf.
Mm.
So, and they didn't supply us with a kettle or a toaster or any of that. So I had to buy it for the flat. And we all sort of, well, we all dibsed in, but like I bought it. And yeah, that was a change, because all of a sudden it was like, maybe I do need to bring all my stuff. You know, I took my air fryer with me.
Oh yeah, I love an air fryer. I'm a big advocate for
an air
fryer.
That's the thing, is like having a conventional oven, and when I went on open days, there were quite a few unis that did have them.
Mm.
You can't make meals like all together. So say you needed a microwave for one bit and an oven for another.
Yeah.
You have to like almost make the oven thing, wrap it in tinfoil to keep it warm, then do the microwave. Like, it was such a weird process rather than having it all in one space, which is why I took the air fryer, so I could have two things on the go.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think that's definitely something that like I needed to be aware of more, because when I went to London, I didn't actually look at the accommodation. It was a very last minute thing, and it was like the only one sort of left. But yeah, I think you have to be aware for that, and then you have to like know what appliances they have.
Yeah, definitely. I think the air fryer was like the best thing I've ever bought to uni. I used it so much. Makes the best tofu.
Yeah.
Makes the best sort of like crispy veg as well, I found. Yeah, definitely like really versatile cooking equipment. So sort of like, you come from like a more nutrition sort of based approach to cooking. What do you think is like a really important nutrition thing for students to keep in mind?
I think obviously students do a lot of like convenience, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I don't know, even if it's just a takeaway or pot noodles. Like, my flatmates used to live off pot noodles, and like, yeah, they fill you up, but they are not the best thing to have, you know. They're full of salt and like, you know, so I think maybe just making sure that your plate has a bit of everything, like a protein source or like, and then like veg. I found it like quite hard to get veg in at first, because it was like, oh, it's an effort to like steam or boil or whatever. But I found if I meal prepped a salad, you know, like chopped it all up already and put a big like tub in the fridge, I could just grab it and spoon it on, you know, rather than having to stand and chop every time. Because I think when people go to uni, veg goes out the window. Like,
oh yeah,
it really does. And I think it's so important to have it. Also, I think things like, there are loads of common deficiencies in student populations. We learned that iron is a really big deficiency, and like iodine as well. So obviously, like, if you eat meat, having red meat, but then also if you are plant-based, having loads of leafy greens is really important. So I have leafy greens for pretty much every meal. And then iodine, if you like season your food with just like a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, you'll get that. And people probably think, oh, salt and pepper is, you know, like not a necessity. But if you think about it, you buy it and then you use it for ages. It's not like
exactly
a one use thing. So I think definitely invest in some like minerals and stuff to put on your food. Yeah,
no, that's so fair. I think it's so easy to sort of like forget almost like what you're eating sometimes, just out of convenience, like especially in things like a pot noodle. So it's nice to sort of have really things that are so readily available and just be able to like add to your food to make like it more nutritionally like well-rounded.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I suppose even if you had a pot noodle and then you added to it,
yeah,
you know,
so
like
true,
you
yeah.
could do that, like just add some veg to it and it'll be a lot more well-rounded.
Yeah, exactly. I used to chop little spring onions into instant noodles. I don't know why, it makes it feel like you're a proper chef.
Yeah.
Once you chop up some like spring onion and put it in your noodles. But yeah, no, definitely makes it.
We're just gonna cut to an ad break now, and then when we're back, we're gonna go over some dilemmas that you've sent in.
All right, welcome back, guys. Now we're going to jump into some of your student foodie-based dilemmas. So first of all, we've had, I'm struggling to find a healthy breakfast that I like. I ideally need something quick that can be made the night before. Do you have any recommendations, things that you'd like to...
well, overnight oats springs overnight to mind. Oats,
I was gonna say, yeah. An absolute classic.
And also chia pudding. Have you ever tried chia pudding?
I've never tried it, but I see it everywhere. It's I'm so good. Keen to try it.
It's so good. It's essentially the same process as overnight oats. So you get like 2 to 3 tablespoons of chia seeds, milk of your choice, like honey, and you, like, leave it overnight, and then you can just top it with fruit. I prefer chia pudding over overnight oats just because, well, chia seeds are really cheap. Like, you can get a massive bag that will last months for, like, really cheap. And also, chia seeds, like, absorb water really well, so it's actually quite hydrating compared to, like, oats. So I do prefer to have that, but overnight oats is, like, a little treat as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, like, I often see a lot of things, people not sort of liking the texture. But, like, you can blend these things up as well and make, like, quite nice, almost, as you said, like, chia pudding. It's like a pudding. So if you blend up chia seeds or if you blend up oats, then it makes it a bit more sort of, like, if you're one for not liking sort of complex textures, it's quite nice to be able to make something that's a bit more fluid and a bit more smooth, definitely.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say, like, oh, well, porridge oats is so bland, but that's the magic of them. You can add anything.
Yeah, you can add so much.
Like, you can add, I don't know, flavor drops, protein powders, yogurt, like, anything.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, should we jump onto the next one?
Yep. So, I've been struggling to eat a balanced diet ever since starting uni. I find myself eating convenience foods like pot noodles and fast food. How can I make home-cooked meals that aren't time-consuming or difficult to make?
It's really interesting because I think that there is certain, like, an aspect of trying to balance convenience with also making, like, quite palatable and nutritional meals. But I think, like, when you timetable in things like revision, you also need to timetable in time that's going to benefit yourself. And I think part of that is meal prepping. And, like, we've spoken a lot about meal prepping, but I really think it is something that's important and benefits, like, your future self, because you're creating convenience for you later down the line. Like, even though, yeah, that chili con carne that you make might take about half an hour on, like, out of a Sunday evening, you're saving so much time for cooking for the rest of the week. Yeah. I think that that's something really important to factor in.
Yeah, I also found that, like, meal prepping, like you say, is so convenient, but also sometimes I could have something prepped in the fridge, but I would want to have, like, an hour out to cook something because it was like a form of self-care.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's just space away from your revision to really put, like, your mind into something else. And when you cook food, I think it tastes better. And I think also with the time away from your revision, you will go back to it a lot better.
Yeah, there's something quite therapeutic about it.
Sometimes, like, I would meal prep and I'd only take about 20 minutes to go get it, eat it and go back to work, you know. But I agree, like, the convenience was a lot better on days where I just needed to crack on. So someone said, I feel like all the recipes that I see on TikTok end up costing me a fortune. Any advice on how to make them more budget friendly?
One, follow me. I'm joking. No, but seriously, I do think that there are alternatives to, like, a lot of these really expensive ingredients that we see. And I sort of mentioned that with tofu earlier, like, that can be something that's really far out of people's budgets. And sometimes I do see, like, really elaborate spices that just aren't really on offer to certain students. But there are people that student meals, student recipes, really popular hashtag. And these are people that are, like, going through this lived experience. Even though it might not be, like, identical to yours, it's certainly helpful to see what other people are doing, what creative ways people are revamping sort of the basic student meals.
Yeah.
Like, especially things like pesto pasta. Instead of just having a jar of, like, pesto on top of, like, a pasta, I've seen people add all sorts of things to it, like different types of mixed veg or adding, like, certain types of seeds and nuts into it that make it sort of a whole, more whole meal nutritionally.
Yeah, I think another thing that I found was maybe opting for buying frozen veg.
Frozen veg is, it's really good nutritionally as well, I've heard.
Yeah, it basically is the same, you know, and it's cheaper than buying, I don't know, if you get, like, a head of broccoli. Like, that will go off within the week. You buy a bag of, like, broccoli and you can use that whenever you want. There's no time restriction on it, and it is typically cheaper as well. Same for like frozen fruit, for like your breakfasts or anything you want. Like, and I know some people will question like the nutritional value of it, but it is pretty much identical for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are some things that are also like quite good to have almost as a stock, like a one-time purchase, and then you can use that throughout the rest of the year almost. Like bags of oats, I find that you really need to have one sort of at the start of the year, and then you keep going back to it. But that takes forever to run out. And there's so much that you can do with oats, as we were talking about earlier. You can make porridge, overnight oats. You can even, I've seen people making savory porridge. Oats.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's crazy. People putting things like soy sauce in it. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I have to try it at some point.
Yeah, I'm yet to try it, but I'm not sure about it.
Yeah, oh well. It's braving that comfort barrier, isn't it? Sort of, I only ever see porridge and overnight oats when I think of oats.
Yeah.
But, and also like making oat cookies as well. That's such a good way to make like a good treat, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to uni, like every year of uni I go with like this massive like 5 kilogram bag of pasta.
Massive,
and it takes up my whole cupboard space, and everyone's like, what you got for dinner? And I just open the cupboard and I'm like, that.
On to the next dilemma. So every time I buy fresh fruit and veg, I never eat it in time, which is such a waste. Do you have any quick and easy recipes that I can make and freeze? I mean, we've kind of already discussed a bit about
it. Yeah, we did say like getting frozen veg is just as good for you and probably cheaper. Meals that you can freeze, like I've done lasagnas, like casseroles I did. And one time me and my flatmates, we made pizzas. Like, we didn't cook them, but we just, you know, got a base from the shop, put our toppings on, and we froze them for when we wanted them rather than buying a shop-bought one. And it also is the alternative of getting a takeaway pizza, which is quite expensive.
Certainly. And sort of in that same vein, I think anything that is kind of quite like a saucy sort of food, like curries as well, I think are quite easy to freeze. And a really good tip that I found, I sort of learned this off of someone I was sharing my kitchen with last year, was finding those little Ziploc bags. And then putting a portion into a Ziploc bag. And then that just makes it so convenient for when you're trying to heat it up. Because you can either like put it into a dish and then heat it in the microwave, or you can just put the Ziploc bag into some hot water. Make sure, obviously, not to put the top in the bag of the bag in the water. But it makes it really easy just to sort of go grab something from your freezer and have it readily available when you may not have that time available.
Another thing, touching on like food going off and stuff, is when you go to your supermarket and you have like, I don't know, a reduced item, or like, you know, you have the veg that doesn't look perfect. And loads of people just go, I don't want it, it doesn't look right. And it'll be cheaper, but they taste exactly the same. Like, I don't think there's anything bad about buying that food. I think that could be quite good for your budget as well.
And I don't know if you've ever done the bread hack as well, as in like you just put a bit of water on the bread and throw it in the microwave and it sort of comes back from its staleness. It's a really good way of being able to revive bread, because I think that's probably one of like the biggest like things that are bound to go off in your student kitchen is a loaf of bread, because there is no way that like one person can get through an entire loaf in a week. That's quite like implausible. So what I found is rubbing like a little bit of water on it, throwing it in the microwave and heating it for maybe 30 seconds will often bring the staleness away a bit. But also just sort of going in with people on items like that that are quite quick to go off. So you're all using them, and that means that there's no waste, because obviously food waste is a big problem, and it's also not the most cost effective thing as well. So it's kind of not a great thing if you're just letting these things sort of run out. But yeah, finding ways to reduce waste with your kitchen, for example, is a really good thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I like what you say about finding people to like go in on an item of food that you'll all use. And I think it is important to do that, because not only does it save food waste, but say if it's like, I don't know, your second week at uni, you're then sort of forcing yourself to get to know that person as well.
I think, like, I'm not sure about you, but the kitchen was certainly quite a social space at the start of the year, like especially in freshers. The first people that I met was in my kitchen. So it's a nice way to sort of introduce yourself, and almost bringing it back to like the community thing, it makes cooking more communal, and yeah, certainly adds to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Another dilemma, maybe delving a bit deeper, is I've noticed that my flatmate is not eating as much as they used to. What can I do to encourage them to maybe build back a relationship with food?
It is a difficult one, and it also does depend on like the closeness of like you two. So if you are really close with them, you could just sort of say to them, like, I don't know, what have you had to eat today, and they'll tell you what they've had, or they might lie a little bit, because it's quite a, like a common behavior for people with eating struggles to lie about what they've eaten. So maybe just suggest that you cook together, or like you cook a meal for them to eat with you, because like there were definitely times where I felt like I didn't want to have dinner because I was feeling kind of down, and like my flatmates were so good with it, and they would be like, oh well, I'll cook like for two people, we'll sit together and like we'll eat together at your own pace, we'll talk for a distraction. Because the thing is, if you had food cooked for you, like they could go to their room and not eat it, you know, but at the same time you don't want to be policing them. You know, you don't want to have them feel like you're watching over them all the time. If it's someone who you don't really know, there's loads of like online resources available and stuff. And I went, there was one time where one person at my uni was struggling, and I didn't know really how to talk to them, but I'd gone on like the Beat website, which is like the Eating Disorders UK charity, and they had like these little leaflets that were like how to deal with someone struggling with an eating disorder, and I printed it off and I just left it on the kitchen side, you know, and then it was gone the next day, so I'm assuming it was taken. And like, because they took it, I was hoping they maybe read it, so you don't have to have the face-to-face conversation if you don't feel comfortable, because it is a very vulnerable situation to be in. But just like little nudges, I think, is important, and just, you know, making sure that they're eating three meals as a minimum is really important, and that they're getting their variety in. But it is equally like a slow process.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's no real quick fix to this.
And no.
It's quite persistent at university almost. Like, this is quite a real problem that people do face when maybe there isn't the structure around meals that there is at home.
That's the thing, like, when you're at home, your parents are constantly like making your meals, you know, they provide you with the food, you sit and you eat it. You go to uni, it's then your choice whether you eat a meal, whether you cook a meal, and it's like getting that freedom but using it for the wrong things, if that makes sense. Like, it's like the second you move away from home, your eating disorder gets stronger, because you haven't got someone monitoring you 24/7. And I think the thing that isn't talked about a lot is that that then makes it harder when you move back home, because you get so used to being on your own and cooking your safe meals, that when you suddenly go back home and your parents start cooking for you again, it gets harder. So I think tackling it while you're away at uni and sort of getting on top of it a little bit is really important, so it doesn't have a really drastic effect when you do eventually move back home.
So thank you for listening. We hope that we've helped you with your foodie dilemmas and showed you that working together is the best way to get through some of these problems. So last thing before we go, what bit of advice would you give to your fresher self about food and food dilemmas at university?
I think I would say to myself not to let like my flatmates' food choices influence my own. And that goes for mealtimes as well. When you go to uni, most people tend to have like extreme lay-ins, or they turn nocturnal, like we were saying. So I'm an early riser, and all of my flatmates didn't get up until like 2 p.m. So I would be having my breakfast and my morning snack while they're still asleep, and they would wake up at like 2 and then have their breakfast, and then they'd only have like 2 meals a day, whereas I would have 3 plus snacks. So I felt kind of guilty in a way for eating more than them, but I think I just have to understand that people have different ways of like living. So yeah, just don't let it influence you and just continue how you feel best.
Yeah, I'd say my piece of advice is probably really carve out time to make cooking fun, even if that's just an hour on a Sunday evening to meal prep, because you will thank yourself later for meal prepping, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, and don't sort of restrict that time down to like convenience foods. It is nice to make food enjoyable and to really have time dedicated almost as like therapy. Like I certainly used cooking as a way to like have some free time or an outlet away, especially during my exam season. So I would say, yeah, carve out time to make cooking fun or make cooking a communal event, invite some friends over, arrange a time maybe once every Sunday and every 2 weeks or twice a term, whatever suits for you. I think just carve out time to make cooking a fun event.
Yeah.
So thank you for tuning in, and you can follow recent updates on @WeAreTotem on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
Join the conversation and find your tribe.